Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service from All Saints Church, Fordham and H. Ash Green on this very special Sunday in our church calendar. It's Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. I'm Paul Southern. It's my pleasure to be leading our worship today. It's the 23rd of May, and we are edging ever closer to the time towards the end of June when we hope to be able to meet together here in church and to sing our praises out loud once more. And we've rearranged the chairs already, and so we're almost there. Welcome if you are watching online or listening at home. May God bless this time to you. Our minister, Francis Blight, will be taking us through some familiar territory in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we look forward to his sermon and how we might apply the teaching to our lives. The coming of the Holy Spirit, as we shall hear from Acts chapter 2, was such an exciting, life-changing day. Peter preached his sermon, and when he reminded the people that Jesus, whom they had crucified, God the Father, had made him Lord and Christ, the people, we are told, were cut to the heart and asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That was the promise. 3,000 people responded. Try to imagine that. 3,000 people. Many of us who can remember the Billy Graham Crusades, it's that kind of feeling, that kind of number. So on this Pentecost Sunday, our first song together, Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God.
That souls the path of peace.
That lovely song, let's just pray into some of the words there. Holy Spirit of the living God, breathe new life into each one of us. Bring the presence of the risen Lord Jesus to us. Holy Spirit, renew my heart and make me whole. Holy Spirit, when I hear your word this morning, cause it to come alive in me and change my life. Holy Spirit of the living God, give me faith this day for what I cannot see. Give me that desire to live a pure and humble life. Holy Spirit of the living God, we invite you to come. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. And we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We come now to confess our sins. God the Father has made Jesus Lord and Christ, and we have let them down by our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, and by not doing what we know we should have done. We should be cut to the heart in our remembrance of our sins. We remember and celebrate the coming of your Holy Spirit. But we, like those listeners, need to repent and turn our lives around and walk afresh with Christ day by day, with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's say our confession prayer together. The words, I think, will be on the screen and are in our leaflet. We say together, Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy upon us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now a declaration of forgiveness. This is what the Lord promised his people through the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 34. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Amen. And now Linda and Paul Davis will come and bring our Bible reading.
Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 47. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard him speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd.
"Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will yet you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with the joy of your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied,
"Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all whom are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call."
With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them,
"Save yourselves from this corrupt generation."
Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pentecost Sunday. Today's sermon is entitled "The Holy Spirit is Given to the Church," and we're looking at Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 47 that we've just heard read to us. Apologies for the screen, if we'd have the first graphic up. We did try to fix this because we had this psychedelic effect last week. We put a new bulb in, but it's still a bit funny, but you can still read the text and I hope it will be helpful for you. At the time of Jesus, Pentecost was a seven-day Jewish harvest festival. It was a time of sacrifices and feasting, celebrating God's goodness in the food that the earth produced. It was called Pentecost because of the Greek word meaning 50. Pentecost came 50 days after the Passover festival. At that time, it was also called the Festival of Weeks, because it came 7 weeks after Passover. Because Jesus was crucified at Passover, it also means that it came 50 days after Jesus' death and resurrection. Today in Jewish culture, Pentecost is called Shavuot, which simply translates as the English word weeks, from Festival of Weeks. In today's Bible reading, we see that the meaning of Pentecost changes radically. It becomes a celebration of God pouring out his Holy Spirit in a new way. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel of Jesus was preached, and 3,000 Jewish people came to believe in him as the true Messiah. So Pentecost marks the birth of the church in Jerusalem. I've got four sections for this talk, and each of them is a question to guide you through. The questions are printed on page 4 of the notice sheet, and there's space to take notes if you'd like to do that, if you find that helpful. And the questions will also appear on the screen. It'd be helpful if you have a Bible with you, either a physical copy or digital, to have Acts chapter 2 open so that we can look at some of the verses together. So the first question for us today is, why did God give the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? And the answer is, he gave the Holy Spirit to empower the apostles to be Jesus' witnesses. We might simply say that he gave his Spirit to enable evangelism or to enable mission, taking the gospel of Jesus' kingship to the whole world. Just a few days earlier, before ascending to heaven, Jesus said to his 11 apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of this promise from Jesus, that the apostles will be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. We note that Jesus said that the apostles would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, and that is where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. But it didn't end there. Jesus wanted them to proclaim his good news beyond Jerusalem, in the wider area of Judea, then further north in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth, including places like Colchester and Essex, where we live today. Jesus wants his lordship to be proclaimed, and the Holy Spirit was given to enable this. The Holy Spirit enables mission and witness. May God fill us afresh for this wonderful and challenging work. Second question. What gift did the Holy Spirit give on the day of Pentecost? The answer is a communication gift. Let me explain. On the day of Pentecost, the small Christian community are gathered together all in the same place. Then a sound like a violent wind comes from heaven and fills the room where they're meeting. What looked like tongues of fire came to rest on each of the apostles. Please have a look at verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, because it was Pentecost, the Festival of Weeks, Jerusalem was full of Jewish people who had traveled in from different countries to celebrate the festival. Many countries and nationalities are listed in verses 9 to 11. Most of us don't recognize these place names, places like Cappadocia or Phrygia. But we've all heard of Egypt and Rome, which are also listed. Jewish people had traveled a long way to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost. And because they lived in these different countries, they spoke other languages. Verse 7 says they were amazed. "Are not these men Galileans?" That's a region north of Samaria. "Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language?" Through the empowering of the gift of the Spirit, God gave the apostles a communication gift so that they could be his witnesses in this international Jewish context. Now, verse 4 says they began to speak in other tongues. That's an interesting expression. Other tongues is an old-fashioned English phrase for speaking in foreign languages. Look at this title page from the King James Bible. Sorry, it's actually rather difficult to look at here in the church, but it's nice and plain for you who are watching online at home. The King James Version, or the KJV translation, was first published in 1611. That's just over 400 years ago. James I, the King of England, was the patron of this translation, hence the name the King James Bible. And it was published in the period of history when William Shakespeare was writing his plays like Hamlet and The Tempest. The language of the plays and the King James Bible have similarities because English has developed over 400 years. On the title page, it says, "Translated out of the original tongues." Can you just make that full screen, Julian? Thank you. Sorry, it's so difficult to see. "Translated out of the original tongues." That means translated out of the original language of Hebrew for the Old Testament and the original language of Greek for the New Testament. The point is that it's a direct translation out of the original languages rather than a translation based on earlier Latin and English translations. So it's not just a translation of a translation, it goes back to the source. And this title page helps us to understand that the word tongues simply means languages. If I ask you, what is your mother tongue? I'm asking you, what's the language that you learnt when you were a young child? So the Holy Spirit empowered the apostles to speak in languages they hadn't naturally learnt. God gave them a supernatural communication gift to enable them in the task of witnessing to Jesus. But if tongue is simply an old-fashioned word for language, why do the modern Bible translations like the NIV that we use in this church keep the old word, the old English word, tongues? Why not just translate it languages? This puzzled me for some time. Well, I think the answer is because of the tongues of fire that came down and rested on each of the apostles. In the original Greek, Luke uses the same Greek word, glossae, to translate tongues of fire, as well as other tongues, other languages. And this helps us to understand that the tongues of fire coming down on the apostles were a visible sign of the miraculous language gift. God did indeed give the apostles tongues of fire in their mouths. Tongues set on fire, proclaiming the wonders of God. Now, it's exciting for us that something miraculous happened on that Pentecost day. Miracles are meant to fill us with wonder. The Jewish people who gathered were filled with wonder. But remember that Jesus' end goal is witnessing to him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit gave a communication gift, a witnessing gift. And when the large crowd of over 3,000 people had gathered, Peter raises his voice and addresses the crowd. He preaches a sermon using one language, a sermon that cuts the audience to the heart. Now, we don't know for sure which language Peter preached in because Acts chapter 2 doesn't tell us. It was probably Greek because that was the common language across the countries at that time, a bit like English is in many countries today. But it could have been Hebrew or Aramaic, as the audience was Jewish. We do know for sure that it was a language which most of the crowd could understand, and it was a powerful message. So on the day of Pentecost, God gave through his Spirit a communication gift to enable the apostles to be his witnesses in Jerusalem. Today we need the gift of communication skills to clearly proclaim Jesus in our mother tongues and in other languages as well. We need the desire, passion, and courage in our hearts to fulfill our church mission to make Jesus known. So ask God, ask Jesus in prayer to equip you and your Christian brothers and sisters with communication skills, with desire to speak for him where you work, amongst your network, and in your neighborhood. We need the conviction that it's repentance and forgiveness of sins through Jesus that 21st century people need in Colchester and Essex. Third question. What was the fruit of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Answer: the repentance and baptism of 3,000 Jewish people. They received Jesus as their Messiah and Lord for the first time and were baptized. In verse 14, the Apostle Peter stands up with the 11 others and he preaches to the crowd. His message is that this miraculous language event was promised in the Old Testament by the prophet Joel, and that Jesus' resurrection is the proof that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. His sermon concludes in verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. As Peter finished, the crowd were cut to the heart with guilt and asked, well, what should we do? Peter replied in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That day, 3,000 people were baptized. I mean, what a day, what an incredible event. They were baptized in water as a mark of the washing away of their sins and as a sign of their loyalty to Jesus as Lord and Messiah. So what was the fruit of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost? Repentance and baptism. The forgiveness of sins, the receiving of the gift of the Spirit. When you think of Pentecost, when you think of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, I wonder whether you associate it with repentance and baptism. I suspect probably not. But this was the wonderful spiritual fruit of that day 2,000 years ago. Let us pray again in our day for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for repentance, for baptisms, and for forgiveness. Finally, our fourth question for today. What was the fruit of the Spirit after the day of Pentecost? Answer: the forming of a loving, active church of Jesus followers. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit created the first church. And here today, we are the continuation of what began at Pentecost 2,000 years ago. This gathering here is a continuation of that. Verses 42 to 47 show us what the first Holy Spirit-formed church looked like. We get a brief vignette, a brief picture of that first church in Jerusalem. And these verses are a good blueprint to measure our own church life against. You may be surprised by how normal some of the signs of the Spirit's work were. As we look through it briefly, try to imagine what the community was like. The 3,000 converts devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to one another. They opened their homes and cooked for each other. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. They prayed together. The apostles did many awesome, miraculous signs at that time. The level of love and devotion was so high in the community that they would sell their possessions to provide for those who were in need in this new church. They met together every day in the Jerusalem temple courts, and every day God added to their number. It must have been a truly wonderful time. This is a snapshot of the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit formed a community of Jesus followers who loved and cared for each other. And this community was a witness to Jesus as the true Messiah. Today we want to see these qualities in our church life. The 3,000 converts devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, they had the apostles in person, didn't they? We do that today by devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching in the New Testament. The New Testament's where we find the record of the apostles' teaching. Last week saw a relaxation of the government's COVID restrictions, meaning that we can now go into one another's homes. So in the spirit of Acts 2, I encourage you to invite one another to your home and to visit one another. Offer hospitality to your brothers and sisters in our church community. Perhaps have a look down the church contact list and invite someone who you don't know so well. The sharing of meals together was a fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in that first Jerusalem church. A little later on, we're going to pray, asking God to renew us by the filling of his Holy Spirit. Pray that you might long to be fed with the apostles' teaching. Pray for miraculous signs which will commend Jesus Christ to others. Seek to pray together, to pray in your home, in growth groups, and at the next prayer focus on the 3rd of June. Seek to meet one another's practical and financial needs. And pray that God might add to our community those who are being saved. These things are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, I've come to the end of this message, so let me summarize as I finish. The day of Pentecost was the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to the apostles that he would use them as his witnesses, starting in Jerusalem. God gave them a communication gift so that through speaking languages which they'd never learned, they could witness to Jews from many countries about the crucified and resurrected Jesus. 3,000 Jewish people were baptized that day. For the first time, they recognized Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah. And the fruit of this was the forming of a loving international fellowship of Jesus followers. The fruit of the tongues of fire and the speaking of unlearned languages were making Jesus known, listening to apostolic teaching, miraculous signs, eating together, praying together on practical care. And God still calls us today to be witnesses for Jesus here in Colchester and Essex and to the ends of the earth. Let us seek God for the daily filling of his Holy Spirit so that these qualities that we see in this first church may be present amongst us as well. Let's pray together. A moment of quiet for you to pray and reflect on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonder of that Pentecost day 2,000 years ago. We open our hearts to you and ask that you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit as individuals, as families, and as a church. Fill us that we will have the passion and desire to be witnesses for your Son Jesus. In your grace, give us clarity of communication in our mother tongue and in other languages, that your gospel may be proclaimed. And we ask that you bless this church with the signs of spirit-filled life that we've just read about. We ask for Jesus-centered hospitality, for a passion for the apostles' teaching, for generosity to our brothers and sisters, and help us to pray together for your kingdom to come. You called 3,000 people on that Pentecost day. Please call people to salvation through the ministry of our church. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Francis. Our next hymn is a prayer, really. O breath of life, come sweeping through us.
Church with life and power. Oh, breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour.
Oh, wind of God, come bend us, break us.
Oh, wind of God, come bend us, break us. Till harmony we confess our need, then in your tenderness remake us. Revive, restore for this we plead.
O breath of love,
O breath of love, come breathe within. Renewing thoughts and will and heart. Come, love of Christ, afresh to win us. Revive your church in every heart.
Revive us, Lord.
Revive us, Lord, as you're abated. What harvest fields are vast and wide. Revive us, Lord, the world is waiting. Equip your church to spread the light.
Revive us, Lord.
Revive us, Lord, as you obey. What harvest fields are vast and wide. Revive us, Lord, the world is waiting.
equip your church to spread the light.
Let's pray together. In my devotions yesterday were some verses from Romans chapter 12. I thought I would bring them to us as we think about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how much we need him. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Transform us by the renewing of our minds. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. As we come to our loving Heavenly Father with our prayers, we pray through Jesus and in his name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Lord speak to us by his Spirit, thinking about the message that Francis has just brought to us from the Lord. The things that we need to know for ourselves and for our place in your church, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you gave your Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That your apostles empowered for witness. How we need your Holy Spirit in our evangelism and our mission, the mission to the whole world. The mission that includes us here in Essex. The mission to bring the Lordship of Jesus to our world. And so, Lord, enable us by your Holy Spirit to do the wonderful, challenging work that you have set before us. It was such a supernatural, amazing gift, a communication gift that you gave. Many foreign languages, all could hear and understand. Tongues set on fire to speak of Jesus, to make him known. And we rejoice and we're amazed at what happened. The preaching of Peter and the 3,000 people who came to believe in Jesus and were baptized. And the words of the prophet Joel, the promise fulfilled. Thank you for the reminder of the fruit of the Spirit after the day of Pentecost was repentance and baptism. And the forming of a loving, active community of Jesus followers. Lord Jesus, we want to look like the first church in Jerusalem. We want to devote ourselves to your teaching, your word. We want to meet with you as we fellowship in the breaking of bread and prayer here in church. We want to be filled with awe We want to see the miraculous works. Help us, Lord, to be a fellowship that delights to be together, not only here in church to worship, but to meet together in each other's homes, to have glad and sincere hearts, to share with each other the wonderful things that you have done, Lord, by your Spirit. And we pray too, we pray so much, Lord, so earnestly, that you would add to our church those who are being saved. The promise in verse 21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's bring to the Lord now, in a few moments of silence, those people we know, family, friends, people we work with, that work that we find hard to believe, that they may be saved, that they may turn to you, the living God. We bring them to you now, Lord. We long, Lord, for these people to be saved, to know the joy of your salvation. And now we come to the response prayer that is on our service sheets and on the screen here. And the response to each of these phrases is, fill us with your Spirit. And we'll leave a few moments silence in between each phrase so that we can bring our own thoughts and prayers to the Lord. As we have listened to your word this morning, we say together, fill us with your Spirit. As we wait upon you in silence, we say together, fill us with your Spirit. As we worship you in your majesty, we say together, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your refreshing, your renewing, your equipping for service, and for empowering for witnessing. We say together, fill us with your Spirit. I'd like to add just another phrase there. As we long to see your healing power, that you would bring healing and wholeness where there is division, sickness, and sorrow. Firstly, in our world, that there will be an end of the COVID pandemic. Secondly, in the Church of England, that there would be faithful proclamation of the Bible in the face of opposition. And thirdly, for ourselves, for the healing of fragile or broken relationships. We say together, fill us with your Spirit. May the Spirit who set the church on fire upon the day of Pentecost bring the whole world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Amen. And we say together the collect prayer, the special prayer for this Pentecost Sunday. God, who as at this time taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort through the merits of Christ Jesus our Saviour. Amen. And we say the prayer that Jesus himself gave us to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now Francis is going to bring us some church family news.
In a few minutes' time, we'll finish our service together in the churchyard, singing a worship song out there. We'll head out through that door on that side. Today's song is a prayer, an opportunity for each of us to offer ourselves to God for his work and purposes. Zoom coffee will be taking place as usual this morning at 11:30 a.m. And in the middle section of that, we'll take time to discuss Acts chapter 2 together. The All Saints Club is running online this afternoon, Luke group for 4 to 11 year olds at 3 p.m. and the Matthew group for 11 to 15 year olds at 4 p.m. Our youth and children's ministries will be taking a break over half term, so there's no 4-2-1 this coming Friday and no All Saints Club next Sunday. But 41 will return on Friday the 11th of June and the All Saints Club on Sunday the 13th. If you're new and you'd like to connect in with the life of our church, then we have a welcome card on the desk by the entrance. Do take one and fill that in, and you can drop it into the collection box near the door. Sorry, I've still got a few items to go.
Okay.
So,
I just realised I've missed the creed out, so we'll do that.
Okay. I've got some bands to publish. We're looking forward to a wedding next month at the Atash Green Church. And so this morning I publish the banns of marriage between Elliot Thomas Aves, a spinster. No, he's not a spinster. He's a bachelor of Stanway, and of Kelly Marie White, a spinster of Stanway. This is the first time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it. I'm sure there is no reason, but supposing there is, do speak to me outside afterwards, or you can contact me later. Elliot and Kelly planned to get married last year, but COVID put the wedding on hold. So I'm really glad that the wedding is going ahead this summer, and I'm enjoying meeting with them for their wedding prep. Let's say a prayer for them. Heavenly Father, we bring Elliot and Kelly before you. We thank you so much they want to get married, and we seek your blessing on them, Father, that you would prepare them and help them, that they would live a life together faithfully. And we pray, as we look at your word in their wedding prep, that you would speak to them and give them clarity about your purposes for marriage. Amen. So this week, the midweek coffee break will be on Zoom this Wednesday from 10:30. Growth groups will be connecting during the week, and on Friday, the Greengrocers Refill Den and post office will be open at the John Owen Barn from 11:45. Next Sunday, we look forward to focusing on God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul will be preaching from John's Gospel, chapter 14, and I will lead the service. Our next monthly prayer focus evening will be in 11 days' time on Thursday, the 3rd of June, starting at 7:45 p.m. This meeting is one of the most important gatherings in the life of our community. And from Acts chapter 2 today, we see that it's your desire that we pray together. It's God's desire that we pray together. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So please do put that date in your diary. We'll be praying for our own needs and ministries as a church community. And we also look forward to Tracy Morton joining us to lead us in prayer for international students in the area. Tracy is the Friends International staff worker for Colchester. And as we think about the Holy Spirit leading for witness to the ends of the earth, it's going to be great to be praying for people who've come from other countries to our locality. So, should we say the creed now, Paul?
Sorry?
Let's say the creed.
Yeah. Perhaps it would be good to picture those 3,000 new believers as we stand now and affirm our faith, the faith that has been handed down to us through the words of the Nicene Creed. We say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. So just a couple of instructions as we head out into the churchyard. We're going to sing I Will Offer Up My Life. Do take the service sheet with you so you've got the lyrics. Please wait in your seat until a steward invites you to leave. And when you're outside, please stand in your household, or you can also stand with the people sitting on your row. That's a change with this month's change in the restriction, this week's change in the restrictions. Please, I encourage a 2 meter gap between groups when we're outside. And there is plenty of room out there, so I encourage you to move down the length of the church building and to step forward towards the three horseshoes to make room for others. For those of you at home, it's been great to have you with us. May God bless your week, and I look forward to seeing many of you on the Zoom coffee at 11:30.